We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Broadcasting from the Shaw Star Market Studios, the home of the Greg Hill Morning Show, weekdays 6 to 10. This is Sports Radio 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1 Lawrence Boston, a radio.com sports station. This is Patriots Friday on Sports Radio WEEI. Patriots Friday is presented in part by Toyota's official website for deals, buyatoyota.com.
By Putnam Investments, proud Patriots partners, committed to an active game plan on the field and off.
And by AdCare, if you're struggling with alcohol, AdCare can help. Call 1-800-ALCOHOL.
This hour of Dale and Keith is brought to you by Cars for Kids, your number one charity for car donations.
And Keith, middays on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
I am now told by several sources that Lamar Jackson, the starting quarterback for the Baltimore Ravens, the former MVP, has tested positive for COVID-19, headed to the COVID-19 reserve list.
I am seriously concerned about the NFL finishing.
That's all, folk.
Hey, Bill, just checking on Sony Michel. You had said earlier in the week that you had him active this week. Does it look like he'd be ready to contribute for you guys?
Yes.
No! God, please, no! 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 No!
Sort of like the blind leading the blind here this morning. Thankfully, we have Bridget, you know, to kind of captain this ship, because you ought to see the two of us trying to figure out the technology here. And good morning, Andy. How are you today?
Hi, Dale. I'm not taking all the blame. It's the first time I've ever tried to do some of this stuff.
Is there any turkey left anywhere near Dartmouth, Lakeville, that entire area?
You're damn right there is.
There can't be. You have it all.
Oh, yes. Well, that's why I have, you know, a plan. If I, any point in this show, you say something and you feel like I'm not listening, it's because I'm not, and I'm thinking about the turkey sandwiches I'm going to be eating later this afternoon.
Well, can I just say this? Uh-oh. And you know, we all enjoyed Thanksgiving dinner with our families, and it was great. We all, you know, it was terrific. Can I just say that of all of the tasty treats that I had yesterday, the single most overrated Thanksgiving Day dish is turkey?
That's probably accurate. Yeah. I mean, pumpkin pie's up there. You know, I argued with you the other day when we did our draft. But turkey is fine. Now, I don't necessarily go into the whole, oh, if it's so great, how come you don't eat it the rest of the year? Well, because it's big, it's a pain in the butt. It's, you know, we do a lot of things that are simpler the rest of the year. But it is, that's why I like the sandwiches better. I like the sandwiches much better because I think most people think of a normal turkey sandwich during the year as the deli meat, and that's not the same as a real turkey sandwich. So that's why I think tonight's meal that I will make will be better.
I have to admit, truthfully, I like the leftovers more than the meal itself.
Me too.
And the only part of the turkey, you know, I said it's the most overrated part of Thanksgiving dinner for me, but I really love, you know, the leftover turkey sandwich.
Yeah.
Where you put the stuffing and the cranberries in it, and
yes,
you know, you really do it up.
Now, do you use Miracle Whip or mayonnaise? Or?
I don't. I've tried to do a little healthier. I use an avocado mayonnaise now.
Ugh. Hey, Brady, why don't you have a little fun once in a while?
I do have fun once in a while, but, and by the way, it tastes pretty good.
Yeah,
Let me just say.
Pretty good, but does it taste as good?
Well, it's really good, I have to admit.
You're only doing it once a year. Can't you splurge?
Yes, I can, and I choose not to. That's all.
Okay. I go Miracle Whip. It's a controversial decision. Most people think I'm an idiot for.
Oh, yeah, you're totally an idiot if you're using Miracle Whip instead of mayonnaise.
The Miracle Whip people, when I tweet about them, love the interaction.
Oh, I bet they do. Let's dive right into this because when I, finally pulled up my Twitter last night, and I tried to avoid social media for much of the day yesterday and just spend it with my family and enjoy the day. When I pulled it up and saw what was going on with the Baltimore Ravens, I've kind of had mixed emotions about this. And for those of you who are just joining us, the Ravens had four more players test positive yesterday and staff in addition to that. And, oh, by the way, Lamar Jackson is one of those four players who have not tested positive. And that suddenly changed things, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, he's kind of a big deal.
And I've gone back and forth on this because the initial report, and we don't know what's true yet, but there are some reports out of Baltimore that there was a strength and conditioning coach or a trainer who may not have been following protocols, who may have been patient one within the organization. If that's true, if there is a single individual who broke protocol and caused the issues that are now taking place, then a pox on them. Screw them. Sorry, you lose. Now, here's the problem with that. If you just say they forfeit the game, they don't get paid, that's fine. I don't care. But neither do the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, I don't understand how that works. I really don't either. I really don't. And the Steelers, I know around here it's probably hard to shed a tear for the Steelers organization, but they are getting potentially screwed on so many levels. They already have been. They lost a bye. Now they're losing their mini bye that they were supposed to get after playing this game and then get the weekend off and prepare for the second half of the season. Now, I also think what's in play here is the extreme contingency plans of eight playoff teams. Well, you know what happens if there's eight playoff teams? There's no bye. Who's in line for the bye right now? Ah, the Steelers. And now you're going to take away their bye, take away their bye again, take away a third bye, and take away a paycheck? It is not a good time to be a Pittsburgh Steeler. And I think that's why you saw them all pretty immediately voice their displeasure on Twitter in a way that we don't often see in such grand numbers from NFL teams.
I know on Friday, my days of the week are getting mixed up. Wednesday, when last we spoke here, the general feeling here among, people like Fitzy and Rich to a lesser degree was, oh, stop whining, for God's sakes. There's bigger things going on in the world. And there are. I understand that. But if you're the Pittsburgh Steelers, you've already lost one bye week because somebody else couldn't get their COVID protocol straight. You are now going to lose what is supposed to be a mini bye week. And oh, by the way, you already lost your bye week. They really have gotten screwed in this whole thing.
Yeah, and they're having an historic season. Like, they're trying to plow through here with their greatest season ever, potentially. A comeback season for Ben Roethlisberger. They're the surprise Super Bowl potential favorite, I guess, in the AFC, even though most people still have the Chiefs in that role. And they're plugging through, but at some point, are any of these too much for them to continue to just roll on and ignore what's going on around them? Like, at some point, if this derails them, again, I know not a lot of Patriots fans are going to shed a tear and look back at the ways this team got screwed. Certainly this team, when it got on a plane and had to play in Kansas City on the day of the game, or I should say multiple planes, they had complaints in that area. But the Steelers continue to get beat by this.
Completely and totally, and I don't blame them for being pissed off about it. If we believe the stories, the Pittsburgh Steelers have done a pretty decent job here. Haven't read about any outbreaks there, have we? I mean, it appears that they've kind of gotten their act together.
Yeah, the Ravens, there's a lot going on here with the Ravens, and I don't know how much of it, as you mentioned, the strength and conditioning coach seems like he was... you call me MAGA heart. He was MAGA strength and conditioning coach and probably not taking this all that seriously. And you double that by the fact, we talked about it the other day, there's nobody that interacts with more people than the strength and conditioning coach on a team.
We were talking about it, unfortunately, because of Marcus Paul.
Right. Well,
who recently passed away in Dallas, used to be with the Patriots, used to be with the Giants. And as we said, every single person in the organization, every player and every coach has direct one-on-one contact with the strength and conditioning coach.
Right. And if that guy's not wearing a mask and not taking this thing seriously, you could see how you would have a legitimate outbreak within a team, which you may be seeing right now with the Ravens. But then, I know there was a story on Pro Football Talk about how because they were preparing for a short week, they had some walkthroughs where normally they probably would have taken a little couple-day breather when they had the initial positive test and maybe been able to figure out close contact. And because of the squashed schedule here for the Thanksgiving night game, they were a little bit more loose with the rules than would normally be the case. And now you have I got on Ken because Ken said the Broncos were having an outbreak after one player tested positive. That's not
now,
an outbreak.
Now to his, let's be honest here. You also neglected to say he corrected himself.
No, I know, but
I mean, come on.
I think he's quick to use the word outbreak. Well, the Ravens have an outbreak. They have a legitimate outbreak going on where it's staff, it's players, it's superstars.
And, by the way, it's both the starting and backup quarterbacks.
Yeah, so they clearly have their issue, but this is the rubber is meeting the road on everything that the NFL has, I think, prepared for and tried to avoid, whether you're talking about money, canceled games, forfeitures. You know, I saw there was a game in college football. I think it was Colorado USC, and they had to cancel it because USC was hit at one position. I think reportedly their offensive line was not going to have enough scholarship players to actually play the game. And it's going down as almost like a boxing match, a no decision or something like that.
Right.
No. I think if it goes that way in the NFL, it's a forfeit. You know, you will have forfeited the game, especially if they can prove that you were brazenly at fault for this. Because the bottom line is, though, the thing we talk about is it's the opponent that's getting screwed with here. The Steelers in this great rivalry, great game, financially, schedule-wise, and then, as I said, long-term, we may, around here, say, ooh, eight teams in the playoffs? That sounds like a good idea. Gives us a better chance to be in the fun in the tournament come January. If the Steelers are on the road to the number one seed, the only bye, this new age lone bye, which puts more value on that than has ever happened before, and that gets ripped out from underneath them in addition to everything else that's gone on, that's not right. That just ain't right.
There's a bunch of issues here, not the least of which, I mean, if you wanted to be argumentative, you say, well, the Steelers don't want to forfeit because they don't get paid.
Right.
Which seems kind of weird to me, but that's the rules.
Yep.
So the simple answer to this would be, sorry, Baltimore, you got to play. Call up 10 guys from your practice squad if that's what you need to do. And that's why the practice squads are bigger than they were before. That's why there are 16 players. Sorry, you got to play, and that's it. End of discussion. Now, you've already got guys who are legitimately afraid to go in the facility. Their coach reportedly said nobody will be allowed in the facility until Monday. They have a game Sunday now, by the way.
Right.
Their makeup game is Sunday. Not allowed back in the facility until Monday. There are reports that I was reading on ProFootballTalk.com where the players in the organization are very nervous. They don't want to go back into the facility until next Wednesday.
And this feels to me like they're trying, John Harbaugh and the Ravens are kind of trying to bully the NFL into postponing this game and saying, well, our facility's closed. We haven't been practicing. We can't even get the uniforms and the equipment. It's behind those locked doors.
And nobody's, by the way, the league did not close their facility
right
till Monday.
And that's why I think they are trying to force the NFL into a decision. I have a question for you, Dale. You're more educated and worldly than myself. How far is the drive from Baltimore to Pittsburgh?
It's not a huge drive. You could do it in 3 hours.
So they legitimately, if they wanted to be extra safe, not even go to an airport, get on a plane.
Yes,
not have
they could
drive.
They could get a whole bunch of buses and take off.
Hell, do position group buses or do, you know, however you want to break
it
down.
It would still be cheaper than the airplane that they'd be chartering.
Right, and not that realistic. I mean, anyone who's done these charters, sometimes you have an hour ride to the airport, an hour ride back. You end up being on a bus for a couple hours, it seems like, anyway. So that would be one question. Why can't they, if they really want to be safe, just drive to the airport? But I think that the Ravens are trying to stiff arm the NFL and bully them into canceling this game or postponing this game to maybe that, you know, week 18 we've been talking about in theory for weeks and months now. And I don't know if the NFL is going to cave and do it, but that's certainly what it looks like from me, because that's to just make that decision unilaterally and then voice your, you know, opinions on Twitter and these various places and reports. Usually you let the league make the decisions.
I will never defend a Harbaugh, but I will only in this regard. He may well be doing the bidding of his players.
Sure.
His players, and based on what we're reading, Pro Football Talk and other places, the players are saying, screw this, we're not going in. We're not going in there.
Well, we praised Bill Belichick, remember?
Yep.
For when he decided to shut things down for a day here, a day there, sort of above and beyond what the NFL was calling for in that little 2-week window when the Patriots were going through this, and the players appreciated it. We talked to a lot of them. The McCourties and Slater and James White and Lawrence Guy, all these guys talked about, you know, coach treated us as human beings, went above and beyond, and when a guy has your back, you really appreciate that. This is a little different scenario just because I do think the moves that Harbaugh is making, while maybe in the best interest of his players and maybe making his players feel better, is counter to the NFL. He's almost, you know, we're bigger than the league. We make our decisions here. And I don't know that Roger Goodell likes to be pushed around like that.
Well, I know he doesn't. Yeah, that's fairly safe bet that he doesn't like being pushed around like that. But I'm wondering what they're going to do here. I mean, I think ultimately what they're going to end up doing is probably say, sorry, Harbaugh, sorry, Ravens, you got to play the game with what you got.
Right. And they, on a fairness level, I think they should. Assuming you basically have the, you know, Sills, is that Dr. Sills, you know, signing off on it. Like, you don't want to be extending this, but he's already on the record saying, you know, there's been no proven evidence of transmissions on a game field, outdoors, and some of these things. So, yeah, the guys that are in your outbreak, they can't come. You need to field a team, just like the Patriots had to field a team in a one-day turnaround trip to Kansas City, because we're going to play this season. We planned for this in certain ways. You all agreed to that, right? Everybody agreed to it. There was negotiations back and forth. They came up with plans. Everybody agreed to it. The reason you agreed to it was in this scenario. You know, break glass in case of emergency. Well, the Ravens have broken glass.
And I think, truthfully, you're finding it everywhere. I mean, look at the college basketball games that have already been either canceled or postponed.
Yep.
College football games fall by the wayside on a daily basis. College hockey, bigger deal in this part of the world than in others, but those NCAA hockey games, we thought we were going to open this weekend, but now we can't because, you know, this outbreak or that outbreak or positive tests here or contact tracing going on there. I mean, it sort of feels like sports in general have been dancing on the head of a pin for months now. Did we lose you there, Andy? I think we did. He can't hear me anymore, which may or may not be a good idea because then he can't yell at me for stuff. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Here's the schedule for today. New England Patriots cornerback Jason McCourty scheduled to join us at 11:55. This is a Patriots Friday. We will talk with the playmaker, Michael Irvin, at 12:30. He is just going to be a mess today. You can only imagine the issues that he's going through after the Dallas Cowboys got trampled in their own facility yesterday for their Thanksgiving game. And Mike Giardi, NFL Network, will join us at 1. By 1 o'clock, we may know more about the Ravens situation and what the NFL plans to do with the Baltimore Ravens. I will also tell you, from a purely entertainment point of view, both Bruce Arians and Tom Brady are scheduled to do their Zoom media sessions with the media in Tampa beginning at 1. I don't know who goes first and who goes second. They won't be appearing together. But there may be some entertaining things coming out of that. That happens at 1 o'clock today. So we got a bunch of stuff we're going to talk about throughout the course of the day and a bunch of stuff that, quite frankly, we're going to try to dance through as much as we can. The Detroit Lions, oh, my God. When Reggie Bush is actually tweeting out, our Detroit Lions team was better with Jim Caldwell, and guess what? He's right. They were better with Jim Caldwell, and I don't know how anybody can even argue the sentiment here. What Matt Patricia has wrought there is not good. It sort of leads into a more general discussion, and the whole idea of bad coaching in the National Football League. And on a weekly basis, daily basis, you see it all over the league. You see Mike McCarthy in Dallas. You see Matt Patricia slogging away there in Detroit. And what you see is horrific coaching. We had this discussion with Keyshawn Johnson a week or so ago, and he wanted to know if I was black at that point. I don't know quite why.
I'm back, Dale.
Oh, good. Do we know what happened?
No idea. I'm now standing in the producer's studio. So, see, the issue in the regular studio is when my mic is on, I can't hear you. When I shut my mic off, I can hear you. It's problematic.
I said, you know, thank God we have Bridget here because much of this is just been a nightmare so
yes.
far.
Yes, you know what I would have done if we didn't have others here? I would have run out the door screaming, gotten in my car, and gone home, and then curled up in my bed when I got home and had a turkey sandwich.
We are talking about bad coaching in the National Football League, and you saw two glaring examples of it yesterday in Mike McCarthy and Matt Patricia, and you see it every week in the NFL. You haven't seen it for 20 years here. Not saying that, you know, Bill Belichick is impeccable. He makes mistakes. He's human. We all understand that. But on a game-in, game-out, week-in, week-out basis, what you don't see here is bad coaching.
I am starting to wonder if Mike McCarthy is the worst Super Bowl-winning head coach in the history of the NFL.
More than Barry Switzer.
Yeah. Oh, Barry Switzer at least had a college resume.
He did. That's a good point.
He was an accomplished head coach. Mike McCarthy embarrasses himself on almost a weekly basis, and because of it, I need to apologize to Aaron Rodgers. I was critical of Aaron Rodgers over the years for sort of not really getting over the hump more often. Oh, you're the most talented quarterback. Well, then how come you're not in the Super Bowl more often? How come you're not better? I think we're getting the answer of why he wasn't better. The guy who was coaching him was an absolute boob, and I'm starting to think that all those stories, it was a Seth Wickersham story right out of Green Bay about the massages and the meetings and all these things. I'm starting to believe all of it. That fake punt yesterday, maybe the worst call in football history.
It might be.
Tony Dungy might be off the hook. That bad fake punt.
No, that one in Indy might take the cake.
Just because visually it looked worse. Visually it looked worse because of the unique formation the Colts tried to use. The Mike McCarthy timing and execution on that play, hideous. A fireable offense. I don't know if Jones will, because we know he kept Garrett forever and he's on the hook for McCarthy, but they need to be one and done. Mike McCarthy is killing the Dallas Cowboys in a winnable division. They have talent. Somehow he also ruined Ezekiel Elliott. I'm going to blame him for that too. Suddenly the guy that never fumbled in his career is fumbling every other time he touches the ball. I'm piling on. Put that on Mike McCarthy too.
Well, and I also, quite frankly, think that Matt Patricia should have been gone before this. Now, Keefe wanted him fired like two games into his Detroit Lions career, which seemed a little hasty to me, but he might have been closer to being right than I was.
Yeah, I still think...
It has been a complete, total failure for Matt Patricia.
No question, but he's not the only one who's going, and that's why I think it's a little weird. I don't know who's going to be running the organization. Maybe they have a life coach like Jack Easterby that can step up, because they're going to have to fire Quinn and Patricia. Both former Patriots guys are out.
If I'm the Lions, I'm not interested in bringing, you know, Nick Caserio in, because I already did the whole Patriots thing, and that failed for me.
Been there, done that, going after, let's do the Kansas City thing. The Andy Reid thing seems to work better. Let's find somebody tied to Andy Reid and see if he can come into Detroit and turn things around, because the Patriot way bungled what little momentum the Lions actually had during this Matthew Stafford era. You could look back on Matthew Stafford and say he's another guy, pretty good quarterback who didn't exactly have a lot to work with around him in terms of organizational leadership and coaching.
It's been awful, and I don't know him the way you do. Everybody tells me he's a nice guy. We know he's a rocket scientist, brilliant and all that stuff. It has been a complete, total, epic failure for Matt Patricia, and it's got to be the only reason he's still there is that the feeling is, well, why do it now?
Yeah, I think that's what they're doing. They're waiting because you're going to be a rudderless ship. It's going to be this weird 5 or 6 game stretch, late November, early December, where you have no direction in the organization. Maybe you're concerned of how that will play out, not only on the field, but in the locker room, in the office spaces and everything. And some leadership right now, just, you know, continuing to chug along at this dismal pace is better than nothing. The rockets that Matt Patricia used to design, I think this would be called total system failure, this explosion of the Lions.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. We're going to continue to slog on through despite all the technical difficulties that we've been experiencing so far.
I blame you.
But me?
Well, I'm not going to point the finger at myself.
That's a good point.
I point with fingers, not thumbs like Cam Newton.
I understand that. Again, we'll talk to Jason McCourty later on this hour. We'll talk to Michael Irvin at 12:30. He's got to be a wreck today. Mike Giardi at 1 o'clock. It's Dale and Keefe. No Keefe today, but Andy Hart's in the house, and it's time to trend.
Cam Newton joins the Greg Hill Show every Patriots Monday. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Here's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. Trending brought to you by your New England Ford dealers, where the Ford Built for the Holidays sales event is kicking off with great deals across the Ford lineup. Hurry in for the best selection. the 2019 NFL MVP Lamar Jackson, as well as a dozen other players and staffers, have tested positive for COVID-19 for the Baltimore Ravens. Their game Sunday against the Steelers now in question. It was already postponed from last night on Thanksgiving night. Bill Belichick, during his weekly press conference today, said that Sony Michel, ready to go for Sunday. Calm down, Andy. Says that the first-round pick has had a couple of good weeks.
Great. That'll be more than the couple of good weeks he's had in a long, long time.
The Indianapolis Star reported that the Pacers had offered Miles Turner and a first-round pick to the Celtics for Gordon Hayward.
Here's where you better tell Andy to calm down.
I know.
Miles Turner, a first-round pick and a rotational player, and Danny wanted more and ruined this whole damn thing.
A trade exception.
But according to Brian Scalabrine, who appeared on the Greg Hill Show this morning, it was Turner's $18 million cap hit that was too much for the Celtics.
According to Brian Scalabrine, the Celtics are going to win the NBA title next year. How are you feeling about that?
Probably not good.
Did he have his pajamas still on, his Celtics?
He might have.
Clovered pajamas still on?
Footy pajamas?
Yes.
That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
What the bleep is wrong with you people?
Now back to Dale and Keith.
There he is.
Middays 10 to 2
on WEEI.
By the way, word out of Pittsburgh, Andy, is that Mike Tomlin is canceling practice again today as the Steelers await more information on the status of Sunday's game against the Ravens. Aditi Kinkambwala was told by members of the organization.
So it sounds like he is now laying the foundation for them not playing this weekend.
Well, frankly, I'd make them play. If I were Roger Goodell, I would make Baltimore play. And let's be honest, none of us ever bought the whole idea that they were concerned about player safety to begin with, so let's stop with that pretext.
Right.
And this is, unfortunately, it may not be, for instance, it's not necessarily Lamar Jackson's fault, but it's somebody within the Baltimore organization. It's their fault.
Can I be cynical?
Sure.
I usually am. I don't know why I even say that anymore.
Why are you asking?
If I were cynical, I might look at it and say, maybe the NFL has actually decided they don't want this game to be played 1:15 on a Sunday. Maybe they actually want it to be a tentpole game. It was going to be your massive, massive Thursday night Thanksgiving game. Maybe they now want it to be the tentpole of the new weekend that is Week 18 when they bump it back to the end of the season. What do you think of that idea?
It's not a bad premise. I mean, they have seemed adamant for the last 12 weeks that they were going to do everything they could do to avoid a Week 18. And are we to believe now that they've said, screw it, let's just put a Week 18 in?
Well, if they've resigned themselves to the fact that that's going to become a reality, wouldn't this be a nice game to build around, Week 18? Divisional battle, two theoretical playoff teams, they always give you a great game, Ravens-Steelers, we're going to build around that. Oh, NBC, we kind of owe you a make-good from Thursday night that you're not going to get the true value of on a regular Sunday 1 o'clock window. I just think maybe they've sort of changed course here. Instead of going over the waterfall, they've turned around and now they've gunned it in the other direction.
I want to get back to the question of coaching. And it's hard for me to picture that in a country of 320 million people, we can't find 32 qualified head coaches in the National Football League.
Yes, and this...
And there aren't.
Well, there aren't currently in those positions, right? That the coaches don't exist is up for debate. Where they are, how are they being molded and prepared maybe for this? Like, a lot of people think that Eric Bieniemy could be one of those guys, right? He just isn't right now.
Yeah, I mean, truthfully, we don't know that.
We don't.
He's the hot name, and you get the hot name every year. You get some new guy. Hey, that's the guy. Josh McDaniels used to be that guy once.
Right. But my point is, I think it's a little misleading to think there's not 32 good football coaches. The question is, why can't we get 32 capable, productive head football coaches into the roles? Now, some of this, I think this actually is part of what led to the Keyshawn question that he asked you, right? That why are these guys not there? And does the good old boys network, does race play a role? Does any of those things play a role?
Well, the assumption, by the way, on his part and others who expressed that, is that Eric Bieniemy is going to be great.
Right.
And I have no idea if he's going to be great or not. He might be.
Correct. I fully agree with that because there are questions about Eric Bieniemy, right? Just like there is with
I just used him as an example, as an African-American offensive coordinator who's one of the hot names out there. He's going to get a head coaching job.
Yes.
I promise he is. Maybe it's Adam Gase's head coaching job, whoever. And we're just taking it on faith that he's going to be a success at it.
Right. And, you know, he has the questions that I've asked about others. Peterson, some of those guys, Reich, that come out of the Andy Reid system. Well, I'm not getting Andy Reid. I don't know exactly how much is Andy Reid of the success in Philadelphia and then again in Kansas City, and how much is these guys really being capable, ready for more. Their role in Kansas City is topped out, but when I give them a bigger role, they're going to take that role and run with it, right? That's the question you have anytime you take an assistant coach from Bill Walsh, Bill Belichick, you know, Andy Reid, these great coaches that have proven themselves over decades of success that their system works for them. Does their system work for their underlings, or are their underlings incapable of making it work in the art that is standing on your own two feet as a head coach? But I refuse. There's enough smart people in this world, right? Like,
well, that's what I said. We got 320 million to choose from.
Right.
We can't find 32?
For quarterbacks, because we have these same debates about quarterbacks, right? There's not 32 quarterbacks that can play. Well, at least for quarterback, there are certain physical limitations. I need you to be able to throw. I need you to be able to throw a certain speed, a certain distance. I need you to move around. I need you to be a certain size, although the size thing has kind of fallen off.
Right.
To be a head coach, you just have to be a head coach, right? Smarts, work ethic, decision making. It's the same as I need for a lot of other jobs on this planet. Are more capable people going into business than they are going into football? So there's just no intelligent people that work their way up in football? I don't believe that. I just think it's about finding the 32 guys and how... I've had a lot of people tell me that too much of the way the NFL works is owners fall in love with guys because somebody that they like said something good about that guy. Like, it's just merely like a recommendation. Like, I think Adam Gase lived off a relationship to some degree with Peyton Manning. And that's great and all, but is that all you're going? Oh, that guy said it's good. Well, yeah, I might as well.
We've got three head coaches, and I'm just using these three as the example off the top of my head. Right now in the NFL, who are abject failures at what they're doing. And we've talked about Matt Patricia, Mike McCarthy, Adam Gase. Am I to believe that if those three organizations had hired an African-American coach instead of the three that they picked, that the African-American coaches would have been successful? I'm not willing to make that leap.
Well, no, because it's not just based on race, right? I mean, you need to
Well, it was when Keyshawn was asking the question. So.
Right. And that's a separate topic. Now, I've always argued that part of the problem from a race related, is that not enough coaches make it into the lower levels of the coaching
right.
ranks to begin the process of...
To work their way to apprentice properly,
right.
train, get themselves into a position where they'd be a candidate for these jobs.
Right. It's like a 12 or a 15-year payoff. You get, you know, all these guys that are qualified, capable. They just need the shot to be the offensive assistant, to be Bill Belichick's grunt. And then they will turn that into position coach and then into coordinator and then into assistant head coach. And boom, in a decade or a little bit more, they're ready to be head coaches. And I don't know if you noticed this because I don't think it got a lot of attention. But the NFL passed the initiative that teams will be rewarded for black head coaches, minority assistant coaches, black assistant coaches getting head coaching jobs.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of that.
I'm not really either, and I don't know that a lot of the world knows that it
passed. That takes affirmative action to another degree.
It definitely does. It definitely does. And again, I know they've tried to do, they have the minority coaching internship or program, or I'm not sure exactly what it's called, but something to that effect, which falls in line with what I'm talking about, getting coaches in at the lower ranks so that they can naturally work their way up to the higher ranks. Whereas now you're talking about at the exact moment you're making that decision to hire either a head coach or a GM, it benefits your organization to go for the black candidate, right? Just tangibly, you're going to get draft picks. I mean, the other team's organization to get right. draft picks out of it. Like, you've altered the landscape a little bit, and I don't.
Well, it also means that if you've done a good job, if you've hired Bill Belichick and are successful, you don't need a new head coach, so you're not getting the benefit of the extra draft picks that the teams that have screwed this up are now going to get.
And I don't know where we're going in that direction. And maybe it'll work. Maybe it'll be a good thing. I also, we've talked about this over the years, and I don't know how some of these minority coaches would feel about it, but even with the Rooney Rule, were you a token interview? Did the team really want to interview you, or were they fulfilling their commitments to the Rooney Rule by interviewing you? And I guess you could say from a coach perspective, it's good experience. Oh, well, I got to go through the process. I sat down with an owner. I talked to him, and maybe that'll benefit me the next time when I'm maybe a more legitimate candidate. But I would like to think these GMs and head coaches want to achieve their success based on their credentials and not based on draft pick compensation and these types of things. But it's definitely a question. The first question, the big picture question, why are there not – more good head coaches.
Why aren't there 32?
And how many do you think there? Like, do you think there are 32? They're just buried, or do you think there's not enough?
Well, I mean, what I mean is there are not 32 good NFL head coaches right now.
Right, but do you think that the field is filled with fruit, that they're out there? They just need to be harvested.
I think part of the problem here, and it's just a guess on my part, is that the natural feeder system for head coaches in the National Football League would be college football. I mean, Nick Saban and, go run through the list, Dabo Sweeney, whoever it is. But they're all saying, screw that. I make way too much money here, and I don't have to go through all that crap. I'm staying right where I am. There would be good candidates at the NCAA level, and they don't want to give up what they got.
Right. Like Lincoln Riley's been the hot name for a couple of years now, who just, runs the show at Oklahoma, makes good money, has all the control. He's now created the pipeline that seems to work. He gets a new quarterback every year for his system and that whole thing. Why would he want to take on the headache of the NFL and, the chance that he's going to fall on his face and be now a failed college coach who couldn't hang, with men at the pro level? And I do think I've always said that. Me personally, if you said you're going to become a head coach, where do you want to do it? I would go to college. I'd want to, if you can be Kirk Ferentz and stay at Iowa for whatever he's been there now, 20 years, and just establish a program and establish relationships with the boosters and the administration, that seems like a pretty good gig to settle into. Whereas in the NFL, unless you're Bill Belichick, there's very few guys that have much stability in the NFL. Sooner or later, you're out, and it's usually sooner.
I think that there's one in particular who just comes immediately to mind, a minority head coach in the NFL who I think is destined to do great things, and that's Brian Flores.
Yes. No. Yeah, he's a...
I see a guy who is part of the fruit of the Belichick coaching tree and might arguably be the best of the bunch.
And I think a lot of that is he's his own man. And I've always said that. I think Billy O'Brien had a little bit of that in him, and I still think Billy O'Brien's a pretty good coach. I think the GM thing and the total control thing really ran off the rails in Houston. But I think to be a good coach, you have to be your own man. You can't be phony. You can't fake it. You can't try to be Belichick 2.0 with a hoodie. You can't do any of these things. And I think Brian Flores, because of his background as a player at BC, and his background, quite frankly, growing up in a pretty tough life and like a lot of early experiences, right. I think that formed a man that is ready to be his own man, ready to stand on his own two feet. Take, what he learned. He didn't do the research paper, cut and paste the information, put it into a paper and turn it in. He does the actual research and says, oh, I know how I can spin this, how I can make this work. And he makes it his own. And I give him credit for that. And not only do I give him credit for, you said he might end up being the best Belichick tree branch. I think he might end up be, we're looking at a guy that sort of made a blueprint for turning a team around pretty damn quickly with the Miami Dolphins in the way he handled things over the last year plus. So, yeah, I think he's a rising star coach, and I think he deserves that so far. But there has to be more of those. You know, there has to be that guy that these organizations are just missing. And, you know, the whole Flores story of he was in the scouting department, but he wanted to do more, and that Super Bowl loss, and he said, Scott, I can do more, and these men that are ready to work, you their work ethic and their football knowledge, their IQ, I just find it hard to believe there's not 32 great men. Are there not enough CEOs? Are companies failing to find CEOs? Does the Fortune 500 only have, like, you know, 320 CEOs? Are they short?
I don't believe that's the case. Right. Now, some are better than others, obviously. Not everybody's a rousing success at the CEO level.
Right.
But they just move on, and then they find somebody who really is pretty good at it.
Right. So if there's enough really smart people in that area, or doctors, you know, are we still finding good numbers of surgeons and doctors? If there's all these people in these other areas, why is football suddenly, you know, lacking in talent that they can't fulfill their needs as head coaches? I don't think it's a lack of capable candidates. It's finding the right candidates and maybe the system or the importance that these owners put on certain aspects of the system that's failing right now.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We'll update you as best we can on where the NFL stands with the Ravens-Steelers game this weekend, and we'll talk to Jason McCourty in just a couple of minutes. It's Dale and Keefe with Andy Hart, Sports Radio WEEI.
What the bleep is wrong with you people?
Now back to Dale and Keith.
There he is!
Middays 10 to 2
on WEEI.
I don't want a lot for Christmas.
With this Christmas song here, I notice everybody's jumping the gun on Christmas decorations at home, don't you?
Yes, and I love it, Dale.
Even in my house.
Oh, even you.
Yeah, no, I'm not doing it. My wife and
Scrooge.
My daughter are, but no, it's just, yeah, this seems early to me, but we're going to go get the tree this weekend.
You're damn right, me too. Decorating, eggnog, trees, decorations. I ordered a new white trash blow-up that my wife's not happy about. I'm going all in this weekend.
I don't even want to ask.
Well, you know, you're kind of piqued your interest, didn't I?
Yeah, well.
Have you ever envisioned what a blow-up pontoon boat with Santa riding in the front and a reindeer driving would look like?
I think we'd call it heaven.
Yes, I think so too. 10 feet long, 7 feet tall, and it's going to be in my front yard when it arrives on Monday.
10 feet long?
Yep.
And 7 feet tall?
Yeah, my wife's not all that happy about it, but I don't care what my wife thinks about it. Me and the kids, we're happy. Yeah,
didn't have a vote, huh?
No. I came in the other day with the catalog. I go, what do you think of this thing? She goes, it's hideous. I go, well, that's too bad because it's already shipping.
Because it's already on its way.
The kids are so excited. It's Christmas. Get happy. Let's go.
I noticed all over the place people have, and it's because, you know, everybody's been locked down and depressed. And,
right.
And they're saying, let's just find something happy to talk about and think about. And they've jumped the gun, and I'm all for it.
Good. And that's why I told Bridget. Christmas music, because as I was driving in, I was starting to reset some of the buttons on my car so I could get the Christmas music playing from sunrise to sunset.
The latest on the Ravens situation, Aditi Kinkabwala, NFL Network. League officials at the NFL are meeting later today to discuss the Ravens situation. I'm told by a league source that a decision on the game at the Steelers Sunday may not be made today, however. Test results from today don't come in until tonight. They may be looking at, you know, today and saying, look, we got 4 more today. Obviously, we got to push this thing off. But Mike Tomlin's already canceled practice for the Steelers today. He's waiting for more information. Now nobody knows what's going to happen.
So neither team is practicing for one of the league's marquee games potentially
Sunday. It is a national telecast on NBC at 1:15 Sunday afternoon.
Right. It's got a Hall of Fame quarterback, you know, staple franchise on one side. It's got last year's MVP on the other side. And we're just going to wing it. We're going to play pickup, roll the ball out there, see what happens. Kind of flies in the face of what coach has been telling us for years that, oh, it's all about preparation and we need more time, more time, more time. They're just going to roll it out and play. I'm all for it.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Mike's in Framingham. Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Hey, how you doing? Hey, Adele, I know you're talking about the NFL, but Nick Saban is the best branch on the Belichick tree.
Well,
except he's not in the NFL, so
Right. And
No. I said I know you're talking about the NFL. I was just joking around. But the other guys, they got hot too. Because remember, Mangenius, they were saying that for a while.
Yep.
And Charlie Weiss, when he was at Notre Dame, he was hot for a while too. So sometimes guys start out hot and then cool off. I mean, I would love for Flores to succeed, but hopefully it happens.
Yeah, most of them started out hot. Josh McDaniels won his first, 6-0 to start his first year in Denver. Then it kind of fell apart and scandal, and he was out less than a year later. Charlie Weiss got off to the good start at Notre Dame, turned that into that ridiculous 10-year contract extension. Billy O'Brien has had plenty of success at both Penn State and Houston. So they're not without success, and you're right, maybe it's a little too early to anoint Brian Flores anything, but he's gotten off to a nice start.
And from the minute he arrived there, that organization looked like they were for real. You know, Matt Patricia is worrying about things like whether a reporter slumped in a chair at the press conference, and Brian Flores is actually undertaking actual change within the organization.
Yes, and that's why I say on some level I think there's a blueprint here in terms of, you know, getting rid of aging guys that, A, you don't want to pay, but also, B, might not be rowing in the same direction that you want the boat to go in, turning them into draft picks. But I also think some of it is leadership from the top. And, you know, we've questioned the leadership of these other AFC East teams for years. And I don't know exactly what's going on in that area with Stephen Ross down in Miami, because he was a guy that wasn't overly well thought of as an owner for a long time.
Right.
And it's funny. Now you win a couple games, your coach, your face is looking like, you know, he knows what he's doing. Maybe you get a franchise quarterback, and we're not talking about the bumbling owner anymore. But I do think we never see enough of that. But that ownership, front office leadership aspect of these rebuilds and turning NFL teams around is such a huge aspect of actually finding success.
And people who know him, and you know him, you know, much better than I do, everybody who knows Brian Flores said they're not surprised.
No. He oozes leadership. And even in the roles as he ascended in the Patriots, I think he was the safeties coach and the linebackers coach, whatever it was, you'd talk to guys that played for him, and they just loved him. And as he would take on a bigger role or, you know, get a little more notoriety, everybody would have nothing but praise for Brian Flores and the way he not only coached, like the actual technical aspects of the job, but just the he's a natural born leader. He has that. He has whatever that is. When he walks into a room, he knows that his way he believes in, and he thinks others will believe in it. And more often than not, they do.
It's funny because some guys, I think, just expect because they sit in the corner office that everybody will just believe in them anyway.
Right. And that's not the reality of the world. You have to care. And we all see this. I mean, we talk about this, or any business you've ever been, or any teacher you've, you know, do we know exactly why one teacher walked into our high school classroom and we immediately liked and respected that one, and another walked in and we didn't? I don't know that we know the details of it, but we feel it, right? Students feel it. There are certain people that control a room in any role they're in and ooze leadership, and certain people that don't.
617-779-7937. Jesse's in Fall River. Hey, Jesse, how you doing?
I'm good. First time calling you guys. I have called before, but I chicken out all the time. But this time, I'm a huge, huge Brumans fan. I got albums, records, cards, you name it. I'm a huge from the 70s. Now, this is for Andy. Andy, nothing beats Portuguese stuffing, guy. Nothing.
That is true. That is true. And I don't know that enough people really know what Portuguese stuffing is, so explain your version.
Okay, well, my version is you still take...
Unfortunately, sorry, Jesse.
Poor Jesse never got to share his Portuguese stuffing.
Well, because it's time. Bridget, line 8, right? Yes, thank you. Joining us on the Harbor One Hotline is Patriots defensive back Jason McCourty. Our conversation with Jason is brought to you by Town Fair Tire and by Zooty. Build any apps your company needs fast. Visit Zooty.com for details. Good morning, Jason. How are you?
I'm doing well. How about you guys?
Doing great, thank you. Off topic, but a guy you know very well, and we were just talking about Brian Flores and the success he's having with the Miami Dolphins. I'm guessing, having worked with him in the past, that doesn't surprise you.
No, I only got 1 year to be under Flo. Definitely a really good coach. It's just his personality. He demands a lot from his players, but he's going to have you well-prepared, and the expectations, you're going to go out there, execute, and play well. And I think he's done a really good job so far in Miami. Guys are
buying in. They believe in what they're doing, and you can see the results. I talked to Van Noy often throughout the course of the weeks and stuff, so they're figuring things out, and it's good for Flo and the rest of it.
Jason, you've been around the NFL a little bit, three different franchises. You've seen different coaches, leaders. And I'm just wondering, if you, you know, you invest really well, you become the owner of an NFL franchise one day, what are the strengths that you're looking for in a head coach if you're going through that hiring process?
That's probably a question I've never given really any thought to. I think just overall, I think when you're looking at people that you want to lead, I think one of the key things is always going to be consistency. I know for me as a player, the one thing, whether there's different ways to skin a cat. So whether your coach is a screamer, whether he's more of a teacher, whatever his characteristics are and his traits are, I think the one thing that as a player that you really appreciate from a coach is just the consistency, that you know you can expect the same thing from a guy each and every day. Throughout my career, I've had coaches where one day they're as cool as a fan and you're laughing and joking. Next day, or maybe after a loss, you can't get two words out of a guy. So I think as a player, you appreciate that consistency from a coach each and every day.
I assume that you appreciate honesty from a coach in a private setting, in a meeting room, face to face. Do you appreciate that same honesty from a coach about your game if he's doing it publicly to the media?
I've never been one to really care about things like that. I think at the end of the day, from a coach's standpoint, you're always going to make decisions and moves that are solely based on the better of the team. So I think sometimes when you look at players and you go meet with a coach privately, hey, like if I'm a coach and I need this player to play well on Sunday, I may just tell him what he wants to hear to be able to get through the week and be able to have him on Sunday, opposed to maybe being completely honest with him. And as far as whatever a coach says in the media, I'm not a guy that really looks at any of that or really cares about it. I think for me, you know, as a player, the focus is always on whatever the job is for that upcoming week. I'm not scrolling through Twitter or looking over to look at the transcripts to see what a coach said about me or didn't say about me.
As we look back at last week's performance for the pass defense, I'm guessing not one you want to remember for all too long, but what do you learn from last week's performance? What went wrong? What do you guys need to do better this week facing a similar athletic quarterback?
I think overall we want to cover better. We want to communicate better and then also try to keep the quarterback in the pocket better. And I think that goes for us as a defense in total, not just the secondary, not just the D-line. Times where guys come free up front, times where guys come free maybe linebackers or secondary, doing a good job of keeping the quarterback in the pocket, I think is going to be huge. And then on the outside, we just have to do a good job of being disruptive. Whether it's intercepting the ball, whether it's breaking passes up, we have to put that type of pressure on them from a secondary standpoint.
Two games ago against Baltimore, I thought it was the most physical game I'd seen from your Patriots defense this year. Last week didn't seem to be as physical. Any ideas why?
I think last week when we talked about it, that's what I said. When you're going against a team that's going to run the ball and they're downhill and everybody's in tight, it dictates kind of the type of the game. I think from a physicality standpoint, last week is more of a spread, more of a drop back pass, and Watson scrambling. So the game isn't going to look as physical. I'm sure somebody from Houston's perspective may say, hey, we didn't look physical. We didn't run the ball well. So I think it's all in what you're looking at. It was easy to tell in the Baltimore game because Boyle's flashing, he's coming across the line, and hey, the guy on the other side is either going to take it to him or he's going to receive it. I think it's different when you're maybe rushing the passer and Deshaun Watson scrambling around and you can't go in there full speed and just drop your head. You got to look and see where he's going to end up. I think a lot of it dictates the type of game. Sometimes you have to out-physical another team. Sometimes you have to outsmart them. This thing is sometimes it's like a chess game, but we always want to be physical. We always want to enforce our will. So I think overall, you look at the keys to the game, and when you're not physical, you don't execute well, you usually come up on the short end of the stick when it comes to the score.
Why is DeAndre Hopkins so good?
He catches the ball well. I think when you look at receivers, the key is get open and catch the ball, no matter who you are, what type of skill set you have. And DeAndre Hopkins is a guy that he's mastered the art of catching the ball. So for him, he gets open, and times that he doesn't get open, he still catches the ball. And there's nothing a receiver can do better than being able to possess the ball.
Final question before we let you go. Are you guys following what's going on with Baltimore right now?
Not really. Obviously, you see that they've had multiple positives, that the game's up for grabs. I think from our perspective, we know that type of situation all too well. So I think you're not monitoring it as closely as other people are. But I think just from a league standpoint, everybody's kind of interested because anybody can end up in that type of situation.
Jason, we appreciate the time as always. Good luck this weekend.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Jason.
Take care. That is Jason McCourty, Patriots defensive back, cornerback. And we'll get to back to the calls with you guys. 617-779-7937. Michael Irvin will join us at the bottom of the hour. Mike Giardi at 1 o'clock. It's Dale and Keefe with Andy Hart, Sports Radio WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.